Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Bev, on this spectacular Sunday.
That's it.
Today's call, we're going to talk about seven habits of the spiritually immature. Now, somebody might consider today's teaching, or at least the title, a bit negative, but it's not. I am without a doubt one of the most positive people you'll ever meet. In fact, I'm so positive that when I take aspirin, they feel better. So my natural inclination is to always share things from a positive viewpoint. However, I was truly led to make this our teaching for today. We believe it will help spiritually immature believers turn their lives around, and also know that it will help parents on how to deal with children who exhibit some of the same characteristics. Number one, living in the immediate. Living in the immediate. The spiritually immature live for right here, right now. Delayed gratification is difficult for those who want immediate satisfaction. We live in a society of instant gratification. We have fast food, drive-thru restaurants, microwave cooking, instant pudding, high-speed internet, satellite and streaming television feeds, instant grits. Well, that's going too far. We don't do instant grits in this house. Advertisers spend billions of dollars selling instant gratification. Their purpose is not to improve the quality of your life, but to use your hard-earned money to build their corporate bank accounts. Have you heard the old expression, hand to mouth? I have a different variation on that, or we do both.
Mm-hmm.
Advertisers are living by taking their hand and removing what's going into your mouth. Sadly, the advertisers take advantage of unsuspecting believers who, without financial discipline, will choose instant over delayed gratification. We live in a culture where people see something and they want it now. And advertising feeds that habit.
That's right.
By conditioning people to believe that they can have it and have it right now. Consider Proverbs 14:2. 14:2 is the Living Bible. The wise look ahead. The fool attempts to fool himself and won't face facts.
Mm. Number two, short on discipline. A lack of discipline is a great battle faced by many Christians and non-believers. Whether it's eating too much, chatting too frequently, texting too often, surfing the net, riding wave after wave, meaning hour after hour. Proverbs 25:28, New Living Translation says, a person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls.
Yeah.
Remember hearing a man say that he prayed and asked God to help him get up earlier so he could spend more time in the Word, but he kept oversleeping. So he reasoned that, well, God must wanted him to sleep in. Look, let's be clear. God isn't going to send an angel to get you, knock you out of bed every morning. That's what alarm clocks are for, or clocks on your, timers on your telephone, your mobile. But when we mess up due to a lack of discipline, we definitely don't need to give God the credit for something that he wouldn't have anything to do with. In fact, God has given us his spirit, not the enemy's, his spirit, so that we can exhibit discipline and self-control. That's what the fruits of the spirits are about.
It's true.
Discipline and self-control. But in 2 Timothy 1:7, Classic Amplified, it tells us what God gave us and what he didn't give us. It says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craving and cringing and fawning fear. These are the spirits he's given us. It says, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. God has given us this power, but we need to do something with it.
Amen. Number three, dominated by emotions. When your feelings control what you do, Your thinking is limited, and so will be your success. Not only that, it becomes easier to be a victim to sin. Galatians 5:16-18, New Living Translation, reveals how to control your emotions while living by the Holy Spirit's power. Scripture says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do the evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you're not free to carry out your good intentions." In verse 18, "But when you are directed by the Spirit, you're not under obligation to the law of Moses." Now, frankly, that says it all.
Mm. And you know, I recently had a meme I read that said, "Discipline is hard, but undisciplined is hard too. So you need to pick your hard."
That's good.
Living undisciplined. Number four, limited knowledge without knowledge of the limits. One of the craziest things that anybody, especially a leader, could ever do would be to limit God, because it also limits the leader. Matthew 19:26 says this, "But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." And I say that because all of us are leaders, if we're ambassadors for Christ. Mark 9:23, God's Word Translation, one of our favorites.
Yes, it is.
Mark 9:23 says, "God said to him, as far as possibilities go, everything is possible for the person who believes. There's no limitation to our manifestation. Everything is possible. Anything, no matter how illogical to the natural mind, can happen in our lives when we exercise faith and believe. Obviously, it has to line up with the Word of God. Luke 1:37 in the Classic Amplified says, "For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment." In God, there are no limitations. Through Him, we have no limitations as long as it lines up with His Word.
Amen. Number five, operating from a sentimentality base and not a reality base. Imagine things to be the way they're not, or the way you wish them to be. That's sentimentality. Unfortunately, sometimes sentimentality will cause a person to compromise with sin. For instance, over about a 10-year period, there was a TV series, Will and Grace. The media has made a determined effort to make people who are gay the smartest, funnest, and nicest people, particularly in certain religious, or not religious, but television sitcoms like Will and Grace. If you observe the trends in the programming, it will reveal the truth in what I'm saying. The effort to create a sentiment and identification with funny gays who knew style and made great friends. I'm not trying to stereotype the roles of gays on TV and in the movies. Ever what I'm saying is the truth. The bottom line is that our sentiment and concern for fair treatment of gays is based on media perception. The whole motivation is to make people more sentimental in their attitudes toward gays. The challenge is, the Bible clearly states that homosexuality is a sin. Right is right, wrong is wrong. No one should ever hate gays. We should love and pray for them. However, we can hate the sin that is homosexuality. You may not consider my comments politically correct, but I am, and I'd rather be spiritually correct. Jeremiah 17:10, the Message Bible. "But I, God, search the heart and examine the mind. I get to the heart of the human. I get to the root of things. I treat them as though they really are, not as they pretend to be."
And number six, sexually absorbed. That's a very spiritually immature way to act. Is there any wonder that our young people, keep falling for being sexually active, considering how many movies and television programs, advertising, clothing designs, they foster every level of increased sexual arousal, and it can become an addiction. Couple this with losing the biblical values and the alternative lifestyles promoted through the entertainment industry, and we have a prescription for self-gratification and havoc in even the sanctity of marriage. Hebrews 13:4, Classic Amplified says, "Let marriage be held in honor, esteemed worthy, precious, of great price, and especially dear in all things. And thus let the marriage bed be undefiled, kept undishonored. For God will judge and punish the unchaste, all guilty of sexual vice and adulterous." The last part of Hebrews 13:4 in the Message Bible says it this way: "Honor marriage and guard the sacredness of sexual intimacy between wife and husband. God draws a firm line against casual and illicit sex." That's what it says in the Message. So we don't need to be seduced by the casualness of sex in our contemporary society. Let me tell you this, the most common adulterous place is the workplace.
That's true. It's true. Number 7, identity sensitive. Your identity should never be based on what you were, where you live, what you drive, or even who your parents are. You need to have a true scriptural understanding of who you are in Him. And it's easy. Easy is 1, 2, 3. 1, Genesis 1:26, Classic Amplified. God said, "Let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image, after our likeness, and let them have complete authority upon the earth." Number 2, Romans 8:17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Number 3, Ephesians 1:11, Message Bible. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, He had His eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose that He's working out in everything and everyone. If Ephesians 1:11 doesn't make you shout, nothing will. Kofi Annan, a former Secretary General of the United Nations, once said, "To live is to choose, but to choose well. You must know who you are and what you stand for, where you want to go, and why you want to go there." Here's what we need to know about our identity. Psalm 45:2, New Living Translation. "You're the most handsome of all. Gracious words stream from your lips. God Himself has blessed you forever." After listening to and meditating on this teaching, I know there will no longer be any spiritually immature among us.
That's it. And I doubt there were very many even listening to this call.
Hallelujah. Join us tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern for Rich Thoughts TV.
How to stay out of Egypt.
That's right. 7 ways to stay out of Egypt.
Yeah, it's we don't want to go there.
Good stuff.
You
can watch it on Facebook Live and at Brother Harold. And you should be able to watch it on our website and YouTube. We've had a little trouble the last couple of weeks, but hopefully that's been resolved. Anyhow, till tonight at 6 p.m., and every morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God and have a sensational Sunday.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.